Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Patrick M. Wood, the founder and director of Citizens for Free Speech. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm a citizen, and I'm for free speech. So this is great to talk with Pat. And we're going to talk about big tech and some of the censorship we've seen recently with the social media platforms. I mean, even the president of the United States, former president of the United States, Donald Trump, while he was still president the last few days of his term, he was canceled by Twitter. Twitter dropped him, and I believe he had something like 78 million followers on Twitter. I've never heard of any number even close. Patrick, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, great. Nice to be here.
Okay, so let's begin with that story I just mentioned about how the president, former president of the United States, was canceled by Twitter.
Well, this is just the autocratic nature of big tech companies right now. They believe that they have the upper hand, that they can do whatever the heck they want to do. What's really interesting is that if I were an investor, for instance, in Twitter, if I had stock in Twitter, I would be filing a lawsuit right now. Or probably would have already done it, for doing things that are not in the interest of the investors in the company. You just simply can't erase an account that big for just because you don't like him or like his policies or whatever. It just doesn't make sense to whack that much out of your income stream and then tell the investors they did it because they're woke.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a great point. In fact, I remember seeing an headline about a month ago or 3 weeks ago, something like that, where it said that both Twitter and Facebook, since they both canceled former President Trump while he was still, again, in the last few days of his office, and there was some sort of value loss to the two companies combined of 51 million? No, $1 billion? I don't know. It was a lot. It was a lot of money. I remember thinking,
yeah,
wow.
A lot of money. A lot of money. I would be livid. If I was just an investor and I wanted to put my money where I could get a return, I would be livid with companies like this, and they should be held to task for this. I think the investors could do a lot if they would rebel against this kind of nonsense and say, look, we put our money in you to run a business. Now run a business, you idiots, and make money for us. That's all we want to do. But it goes farther than this, when you consider what happened to Parler, where Google and Apple and then Amazon ganged up together all at the same time to murder a functioning company that had done nothing illegal, nothing provable whatsoever. They just decided they didn't like him anymore, and boom, they were gone from the internet overnight.
Yeah.
This is murder. You can't call it a free speech issue even. This is flat out a criminal act and should be prosecuted as such. Now, if you did such a thing, if you and a friend or two friends figured you want to gang up on somebody because you didn't like them and killed them, I guarantee you'd be in jail right now. But they're getting away with this, and they should not get away with it.
You know, one thing I don't understand, Pat, that's what you go by, right, Pat? What about the laws against monopolies and antitrust? I mean, these guys, and when I say these guys, I mean these maybe five or six leaders of big tech, these big corporations and so forth, they have as much power and money and so forth as the robber barons of long ago had, it seems to me, and they certainly have a monopoly. What about the antitrust laws? Don't they apply here?
They do apply, and they should apply. Nobody at a federal level has really lifted a finger to do anything about it. Of course, we know what dysfunction is going on in Washington, D.C. right now, so what can you expect? But the states individually have great power and influence to come against these people and really take them to task. Florida, the Florida governor, DeSantis, just this last week just made a major announcement that he was going to seek legislation that would hold these big tech social media companies feet to the fire. And if they canceled any running or any standing candidate for any office, whether Republican or Democrat, that they're going to fine them $100,000 per day per incident until they restore such accounts. Now, that's just part of what he said he wanted to do, but he also is going to unleash the Attorney General to directly sue these big tech giants under Florida's own existing law, which allows them to do that. Virtually every state in the union has laws like that on the books already there. But those governors and those legislatures need to stand up and take a swing at these people and knock them back into the last century where they belong. And they can do that if they chose to.
You say last century, you mean the one two, a century and a half ago, or whatever it was. I mean, in other words, the 1800s. But they are so partisan. I mean, for example, Facebook, it's my understanding, they gave through some sort of, you know, charitable, quote-unquote, political PACs or whatever like that, they gave $500 million of money to influence the last election just in Georgia alone, clearly on the Democrat side of things.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, for all of the free advertising that they have given to candidates of their choosing, none of these contributions have ever been declared as being constitution, you know, contributions. They really are. And if you went out to buy that kind of influence, let's say you're a billionaire and you wanted to influence some election, if you went out to buy that kind of exposure on social media, it would cost you in the billions of dollars. And, you know, but Facebook and Twitter and the rest of them are giving away value to these other candidates by promoting one candidate over another. This should be held to account by the federal election commissions. But again, they're asleep at the switch. You're not doing anything.
Yeah, and I read in a Victor Davis Hanson article, he was saying that as far as big tech is concerned and the people, you know, the leaders and so forth, as far as their donations, 98% of the donations of a political nature went to the Democrats. And I'm looking at that. I'm thinking, oh, really? You mean 2% gave to Republicans? Who were they? I mean, you know, I'm kidding. But it's gosh, that's awfully partisan.
It's awfully lopsided. But I'll tell you, I wrote an article just recently called Scientism, Not Leftism, Underlies All Big Tech Censorship. It's probably worth reading if nobody's ever been exposed to the concept of scientism. But virtually every issue that has gotten censored in the last few years, somewhere at the bottom of it has been this scientific proposition that you must obey science. And I'm not anti-science, don't get me wrong. I love science, actually, real science. I don't like pseudoscience at all. But big tech has been censoring people who go against the global narrative. And one thing that they are paranoid over, just as scared to death, they are scared of the populist movement in America and in other countries in the world as well. Germany has a big one, so does France, so does Great Britain. Other countries in Europe do as well. And to a lesser extent, Canada, but Canada is pretty far gone in just about every way right now. But the populist movement scares these people to death. And Trump said it right a year and a half ago. He said, they're not after me, they're after you. And I think there was some wisdom in that. They really are after the populist movement to dismantle it, discourage it, destroy it in any way that they can. And one way they can do that is to give all their money to the other side of the political aisle and let them do the dirty work for them.
If I go to citizensforfreespeech.org, your website, would I find that article about scientism versus leftism,
yes,
did you say?
Yes, you would. If you just click on the blog tab at the very top of the screen,
okay,
you'll see that article in the very first thing. And it's the title is Scientism, Not Leftism,
Not Leftism,
Underlies All Big Tech Censorship.
Oh, that's true.
Of course, this is my view of it. I've been studying scientism for a number of years, and there's a huge body of literature over the last probably 75 years on what scientism is and the dangers of it, et cetera, et cetera. But we see scientism expressed with big tech, because the idea of scientism is there's only one source of truth, and that's science. So you can forget morality, you can forget the Bible, you can forget philosophy. If it can't be demonstrated in a test tube, they simply throw it out. But this is a very dangerous proposition, very dangerous mentality, and it's going to have very ugly consequences as time goes on.
Yeah. Well, we could take a microcosm from, you know, everybody would agree the Nazi regime was like among the worst ever that occurred in the history of humanity. Okay. But they were very big into scientism. I mean, you could read page after page of these experiments they did. Okay, well, let's take this Nordic guy. In other words, from Norway. He's a perfect Aryan specimen. And let's experiment on his body in contrast to this Jew who is, you know, doesn't even deserve to live. And we'll experiment on the two and see the difference between the Aryan versus the lower class, you know. I mean, and it's all done in the name of science. And they have pages and pages of, you know, but you'd be a fool to research that and write about it, and you know, and write about it in the sense of not of exposing it, but write about it in the sense of well, let's compare freezing temperatures, etc., and different types of human beings.
Right, exactly, and it maintains a very low view of humans. Unfortunately, humans are basically just one more asset or resource on the earth, no different than the animals, and that they deserve to be somehow managed, just like the animals are managed, you know, like herd management sort of thing. And this is a very dangerous philosophy for one group of people,
yes,
to say to another, we're better than you, we have the PhDs, you don't, we know what is right, you don't, you need to obey what we say or else. And that's basically the proposition that big tech has given us right now.
Or we have about 2.5 minutes left to finish this conversation. How do we solve this problem of censorship of conservative Christian speech, yes, etc., by big tech?
Well, what we're trying to do at Citizens for Free Speech is promote local activism to get people back into their own communities to drive this stuff out from the bottom up. And we're offering training for people to relearn how to engage in civil discourse so that they can get their ideas heard, and so that they can hear what other people are saying without bringing out the hatchet. Society today is so dysfunctional, and the First Amendment is under such attack,
yeah,
that we have to turn the tide. We absolutely have to put it back. If we lose the ability to communicate, America's done. I hate to say it that way and be blunt, but that's the truth. We must restore civil discourse to the civic arena.
I mean, you can't even, you mentioned President Trump a few minutes ago, or former President Trump. You can't even bring up the idea that, hey, maybe there were some irregularities in the election of November of 2020 without being censored by big tech.
That's right. Yep. They have the upper hand right now, and they have the power. We're not going to confront these people directly, and we cannot expect Washington to save us. They haven't saved us in the last 50 years, and they're not going to save us now. It's up to the people of America, individually and severally, to take after their local communities and drive this stuff out. And I would remind everybody that every person they complained about higher up the food chain, they all came out of a local environment originally. They were mayors, they were city council members, they were county commissioners, etc. And that's how they rose up the food chain. That's where you need to start to restore America, is at the grassroots level.
It's like that old phrase, all politics is local. Tip O'Neill, I believe, said that.
That's exactly right. And our director of training, by the way, Mary Baker, is very succinctly said, if you don't have a seat at the table, you are what's for dinner.
That's excellent. Okay, and people can get more information at citizensforfreespeech.org. Pat Wood, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you.